From APM in Emeryville, California, I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Apple has sent out invitations to an event on September 7th. If history is our guide, it is to announce the next iPhone. Now, sales of the iPhone have slowed a little. People are a little less willing to upgrade their expensive phones every year or two. But at a certain point, you might not have a choice. Here's Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET.com, with more on that. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Molly.
How long are our phones, refurbished or no, how long are they built to last? You really think they're only built to last 2 years despite costing up to $800?
That's a crazy idea, isn't it? And, you know, if you ask any firm about the concept of planned obsolescence, which is the suggestion that, you know, a manufacturer would build something to fail specifically so that you'll go out and buy a new one, any major manufacturer would say that's not real. But there are some actual kind of realities of lithium ion batteries. That quick charging damages the battery over time. And nobody's really looked into whether or not those batteries should last longer than a couple of years, because most people just replace their phone after a couple of years. And many phones, you can actually get the batteries replaced, but many you can't. And often the battery is what drives people to replace their phone.
But instead of a refurb program, you could just have a battery replacement program.
You could. Or, you know, there are steps that you can take to preserve the life of your phone. And they're kind of obvious, but it's worth saying them out loud. I mean, one is charge your phone when it needs it rather than compulsively. So don't let it just sort of sit there on the charger. Wait till it runs down, because that's just going to lessen the number of times you need to charge your phone. You know, put a screen protector on it, put a case on it.
So I swear that I notice not even just hardware failures, but software failures. I feel like my phone operating system starts to go a little bit wiggy right before a new release. Am I imagining that?
That's going to vary per device, and there's sort of no official line on that. But what is true is that you'd better bet that a company is not incentivized to support that older operating system for as long, or they're just not focusing on it as much as they're supporting the new operating systems.
Lindsay Turrentine is editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks, Molly. That was great.
One thing we'll be watching for September 7th is any sign of Apple's future ambitions beyond phones and smartwatches. Rumors say the company is working on an electric car, maybe virtual reality. There are signs that Apple is on the hunt for the next big thing, and that isn't always easy to find. Leslie Berlin studies the history of innovation for the Silicon Valley Archives at Stanford University. Leslie, do you think Apple is setting up for a pivot?
You know, Apple moved from being a company that just built computers to one where the great majority of its revenues come from products that are not called computers. You know, they're called phones. You have an environment where there are lots of different companies, individuals, and places like Stanford, where I'm talking to you from, that are all working in their own areas, and yet the people circulate among them, and that's how ideas travel.
Have there been examples that really stand out in your mind of those who failed to evolve and failed to keep innovating?
It's a huge challenge that companies have to face. I mean, it's kind of like you have to constantly be nibbling at yourself. You know, Andy Grove said, "Only the paranoid survive." And you know, this is something you constantly have to be aware of. I also think I'm not sure that the notion of a pivot is exactly the way to think about development in technology. It's not like a basketball player catching the ball, turning 180 degrees, and running the opposite direction. It's about the ability to sort of leap further in the same direction or slightly off at a different angle.
And can you give me an example of a company that's done that successfully?
Netflix. Remember, there was this huge outcry. They were going to stop sending DVDs, and there was going to be, could only get things streaming. And this was going to be a big, big change that they saw before other people saw it. It's not been a crazy pivot. They didn't suddenly decide that they were going to send ice cream sundaes through the mail. They kind of long jumped and got to where they knew we were going to go. That's, I think, the kind of really successful change we've seen in the Valley.
Leslie Berlin is project historian for the Silicon Valley Archives at Stanford University. Thank you for talking with me.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
secure messaging is back in the news this week, as in Hillary Clinton uses it and apparently Anthony Weiner still does not. Mrs. Clinton's closest aide, Uma Abedin, is leaving her husband after catching him a third time sending sexually explicit messages to other women. But also this week, a Vanity Fair story that says staffers on the Clinton campaign use the secure messaging app Signal to communicate about sensitive topics. According to the article, the Signal app is considered, quote, Snowden approved. That refers, of course, to Edward Snowden, the former NSA employee who leaked classified information about the agency's surveillance operations. And out of all of that, you know what got my attention? Snowden approved. Is this a thing? Chester Wisniewski is a principal researcher at security firm Sophos. He says he certainly hopes not.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous to relate any kind of personality to the security or safety level of a technology. I mean, the encryption is becoming politicized a little too much.
That's Chester Wisniewski, principal researcher at security firm Sophos. Oh, and as far as Mrs. Clinton's official stance on strong end-to-end encryption, it is so far unclear. Before we go, let's talk about Star Trek. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary here at Marketplace Tech, and we would love to hear from you about it. Tell us what it meant to you, maybe a really resonant episode. Leave us a voicemail, 304-87-TECH-1, and you may end up on the show. I'm Molly Wood from the Reveal Studios at the Center for Investigative Reporting. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.